Oh, hang on 1 second. Well, we can keep recording. I just forgot my drink in the other room.
Okay.
All right. Insert witty banter here, okay?
Indeed. Indeed. So what are your thoughts on the current Israeli-Palestine conflict? Can you be succinct in your response?
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 694. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials. This show, we're going to play a new game. We got a stat of the week, and we'll get you an under-Googleable. Joining me this show are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, from the high school home of Jameson Brewer, Silver Spring, Maryland, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up? Undebeatables, shout out to witty headline writers. Just great, great work.
From Tacoma, Washington, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, fellas? Hope everybody had a great Easter. I can't believe we're less than 2 weeks to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming down to the end of the line here pretty quickly. Well, before we get into the show, we'd like to remind listeners that they can support us, the longest-running Pacers podcast, by heading over to patreon.com/undebeatables. You can support us for as little as $1 per month. Don't want to. We're not going to do like a pledge drive or anything or beat you over the head with ads or anything, but that is how you can support us. I do appreciate the people that have done so. And if you don't have the money, or it's not in your budget at the moment, you know, you can tell a friend.
I'm sorry, was beating people over the head an option? You didn't tell me this was an option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have an enforcer on staff.
you seem overworked right now, and I just want to dial back your workload. That's all.
I mean, that's
why
catharsis.
Joey is manager of the year.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
All right, guys. I told you that we were going to have a new game today, and it's a collaborative game. But there are right answers for this. The name of the game is called NBA, and as it might sound, it's your pretty standard Nine Inch Nails NBA. Multiple choice game.
Ah, okay. I thought it was going to be not in my back NBA.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Oh, NIMBY. Oh, yes. NIMBY. Well, that'll be, maybe I'll play that one next time. So the game here is, well, I'm going to give you a question and multiple choice. And basically the two of you need to collaborate and discuss which is the right answer for these. Every answer here is just the name of a Nine Inch Nails song.
Oh, boy. That's,
so I'm going to give them to you, so if you don't need to know too much.
Okay.
If you know the song, it can help you along in your decision process. If you don't, just use the title. I think that, but you'll get the hang of this pretty quickly.
Okay.
So I'll throw it to one of you first, and it will go back and forth, but the person I throw it to will have to give the answer, but I do consult with your other podcasters as you need to. So Jason,
mm-hmm.
Which song best describes the 2024 Clippers, and that includes the playoffs. Number one answer is Mr. Self-Destruct. Number two, the beginning of the end. Number three, the Great Collapse.
I'm sensing a theme. Those are the three those are the three options. Okay, I thought I was waiting
those
for
are the, those are the options.
And there's right, no so we got D,
Mr. Self-Destruct, beginning of the end, and self-collapse and or something?
The Great Collapse.
The Great Collapse. All right, so this is the 2024 Clippers, including the playoffs, which we don't know what will happen yet. But we assume, know. With Paul George and James Harden involved, that
and
there will
Russell
be some
Westbrook.
Sort of... And Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
So my thinking, Harper, is that on this show we have a pretty fervent anti-Paul George bent so that Joey's view of the Clippers would be more individualistic than holistic. And so Mr. Self-Destruct, is that what it was?
Mr. Self-Destruct, that's
yeah,
right.
Is probably the front runner for me. Any could be applicable, though.
Yeah. Well, my first thought was the beginning of the end. My fear, my deep-seated fear, is that somehow Paul George makes his way back to the Pacers. But first he has to be jettisoned from the corpse of what will be the LA Clippers after this season. But I like yours better. That's just my own paranoia at work.
Right. I mean, because the Great Collapse is basically, that's a given, you know. It's not. There's
that's
no
what leads to these other two outcomes.
Right, exactly. That's right, yeah. All right, yeah, I like the beginning of the end because they brought all these super-duper stars together and now it's actually just falling apart. But I'm going to go with that, Joe. I'm going to go the beginning of the end. Is that correct?
Beginning of the end. That is the right answer. The other ones describe the Clippers in other points on the timeline.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
But that's the 2024 answer. So good job, Jason. 1 point to you.
For Harper. Stealing Harper's answer.
Which Nine Inch Nails song best describes Domantas Sabonis playing for the Kings? First one, Can I Stay Here? Number two, Run Like Hell. Number three, So Tired.
Ooh, that is a tough one. You know, my initial thought was maybe just a recency bias is just So Tired. I liked them all. But I think that there was just a major injury on one of that team, too. So they're going to be leaning even heavier than they have been on the poor big man.
I think there were two major injuries, weren't they?
Were like, there?
Kevin Herter went down, and Herter then I just down. Saw Malik Monk went down.
Oh, Malik went down, too?
For like 4 to 6 weeks or something, yeah.
Oh, boy, yeah. He already had a lot on his plate. What are you seeing here, Jason?
Yeah, I like that. I like the So Tired thing. But I also like, Can I Stay Here? Mm-hmm. It's like a thing. Because he's, you know, been, this is now his third team. And
sure.
He thought he had a home in Indiana. And we said, no, we like Tyrese Halliburton better. So, yeah.
But it's also Sacramento.
Right. That's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah. I think your first instinct is probably right.
All right, recency bias it is. So Tired.
So Tired, that's the right answer.
Wow,
that guy's getting,
we're on fire.
He's getting so many minutes. And I feel like when they, every time that, you know, they see another player go down, coach just kind of like looks over at him and starts making a little head nods like, hey, hey, you're going to.
About time you stepped up.
Do you have it there? How many minutes is he averaging in a game?
I don't, but we're going to find out here real quick because that dude...
And he also just gets clobbered the entire game. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's... he just works his butt off and just gets smashed. You know, 40. Let's see here.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
I've got him at 35.8 per game.
Okay. That's nearing reasonable.
I mean, is it?
It's a lot.
Especially for a lot, big...
It's not DeMar DeRozan levels, but, you know.
Yeah. All right. 2 for 2, guys. Number 3 for Jason here.
Mm-hmm.
Which Nine Inch Nails song best describes the Pascal Siakam trade?
Ooh.
First one. Temp Fix.
Mm.
Number 2, A Warm Place. Number 3, Was It Worth It?
Interesting. Well, I'm going to rule out Temp Fix.
Okay.
Right away.
Week was too good. Week was too good for the big man.
And I think we're going to sign him to a long-term deal. Hopefully, this summer. Was it worth it? Seems like the simple answer is yes. So I don't know why it's still a question. So I'm going to go with, what was it? Warm feeling?
A warm place.
A warm place.
A warm place. Yeah, let's go with that. I think a warm place. What do you think, Harper?
I think it's a double entendre, and I love it when we use a thing to mean two things.
Yeah. All right, let's go with that. A warm place.
A warm place. You got it.
Nice.
Yeah, I think this Siakam trade has shown off Siakam's skills really well, as you know, from his side as well. You know, he's doing a lot of good work, and I think, well, this is a contract year for him, right? So we need to re-sign him, and so I think that we need to build that warm place for him. You know, you want the warm fuzzies going both ways.
That's right. Well, yeah, and I think he brings what we've seen over this last stretch is he brings the veteranship that we are sorely lacking on this team.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean, we have a lot of great young players. We have a budding super duper star in Tyrese Halliburton. But we had a couple adults in the room, but not like in that leadership echelon. And I think he now is there, and he's, you know, the way he's been balling out and just bringing the effort every night, I think is going to pay a lot of dividends.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's been in double figures in every game since the trade, which is fantastic. I was looking up his pick and roll numbers with Halliburton, and while, you know, Miles Turner is far and away the best recipient of pick and rolls with Halliburton, and Siakam's pick and roll ends up with Halliburton crushing stuff. Like, he's already above what everyone else has done on the team by a long stretch. So
interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So they are a good pick and roll duo. It just turns out that Halliburton tends to be the recipient often in those, and that's a good thing too. If, you know, if there's an easy way for us to get Halliburton going, it seems like they're comfortable playing that game on people. So
for sure.
And I'm with you. The accountability is just huge. Defensively, we need a guy like that.
And I felt that Siakam is being kind of the emergency blanket for Halliburton, because we've seen, you know, all year I've noticed it much more where he'll jump and then it's like, all right, what are we doing here? And I feel like he can, if he sees Siakam, kind of, if particularly in the crunch time, he can just like, let me just get it here, and then something good is going to happen, and it usually does.
Yeah. And when the offense breaks down, he is perfectly happy just dribbling the ball and creating a shot for himself, which,
right,
yep,
is very difficult to do consistently in a league with this level of players, but he does it, and boy does it matter.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to question 4, Harper. Which song will best describe Tyrese Halliburton's career at the end? First option, Not What It Seems Like. Second option, just like you imagined. Mm. Option three, hyperpower.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that my recency bias is never going to be overcome at all. I don't know what that means, but I like it very much, and I'm taking it.
Your hyperpower?
Yeah, hell yeah, hyperpower.
That is a pretty sweet power. You got it. Hyperpower.
I don't think that I really got answer. It. I think he changed it at the end so that we'd be tied going into the fifth one.
Very Coulson-esque move.
I'll take it.
All right, since we're tied.
So before we move on, we all, I think, have warm fuzzies when it comes to foreseeing what's going to happen with Tyrese Haliburton. How conflicted do you find yourselves, like, or how guarded, I guess, are you based on recent history of super-duper stars, multi-all-star talented players jettisoning themselves from the Pacers? Do you find yourself like not trying, like I really like Tyrese, but I'm, you know,
yeah,
I've been scarred before. I'm not gonna you know, I'm playing the slow game here.
My hope is that he just wants to be here, and I was, you know, I'd heard, you know, when he'd come to Indiana that he, you know, he had been really invested in, you know, just the Sacramento organization and the community, the city. Like he had really taken that stuff seriously. And my hope is that he does the same thing here. And it's just a, you know, the organization, you know, will want to keep this excellent player, excellent person. And that he'll just say, hey, I want to be here. And that's what I'm hoping for. And the thing is, I've heard these things about his relationship to his previous team. And so I'm hoping that carries forward. It's hard to say because everybody says, for the most part, everyone says the right things. So it's hard to know for sure. But,
well, and we're still in the honeymoon phase now, I would say.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's just so many things that can happen to derail huge success, right? Just careers taking unforeseen turns. You know, mm-hmm. there can be injuries. You know, outside stuff can happen. Cautiously optimistic is the best that I can do, for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
I just, he's an incredible player, and the rate that he was playing at the beginning of the season was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we have that for the next 15 years. I just that would be unbelievably lucky for us to find someone like that who's willing to stick around. I think it's so hard in today's NBA to be able to, you know, really imagine someone staying with one organization that long. It's just doesn't happen very much. I mean,
yeah,
even in his day, Reggie Miller was a bit unusual in that sense, because he could have gone and done something else. He didn't do that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the key is competitiveness. I heard a statistic the other day. The Pacers haven't won a playoff series in over a decade.
Something starting like that. To feel like it, man.
Yeah, so it kind of explains to some degree the other superstars that were like, you know, players want to win, you know?
And yeah.
So I think it's all about if we can find a way to be competitive deep into the playoffs, that makes a huge difference, right? So on both accounts, I hope we are successful.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's a good time to have a little discussion about that, because at this point, yeah, I want this dude, you know, you can't ink, you know, career, you know, to the end of their careers, but as of right now, like, keep this guy around forever. You know, he's, just keep him healthy and keep him playing on our team, and don't worry about all this, you know. I don't, I mean, this is, as a fan, I don't like this, you know, the assets part of it where somebody's, you know, they're not like we had to do with Buddy Hield. Like we all like Buddy Hield, but there was problems coming to an agreement on numbers, and so Buddy's gone. And so like that for me on the fan side is like less fun. So I like Buddy. He liked it here. I liked seeing him and Halliburton play together, and you know, that's the kind of stuff that I enjoyed, but the business side is like less fun. All right. We're taking a 2-2 tie into the final question. And it wouldn't be a proper Undebeatables game if we didn't rejigger the rules and make it unfair. So we're going to go. Colson texted me and I said, what do I do here? He said, he's got to go Quaker style. So the last question here, we need consensus from the two of you. And the question is, in his prime, which song best described Lance Stephenson? The first one, The Eater of Dreams. Number two, Another Version of the Truth. And number three, I'm Not From This World.
Wow. These are some choices. Can you say them again?
Yeah, let's do that again.
I can. Okay. Yes. The first one is The Eater of Dreams.
Eater of Dreams.
Eater of Dreams.
Wow.
Number two, Another Version of the Truth. And number three, I'm Not From This World.
So I'm going to eliminate, Harper, Another Version of the Truth, because that would imply that he's, Paul Pierce 2.0. And I think that Lance Stephenson, in Joey's mind, for sure, is in a category unto his own. Yeah.
Right. I, in fact, thought that one of the song titles might be Only, because there's Only Lance. So yeah, I'm with you. We should cross that one off.
Okay, that one's off. And so then we have Eater of Dreams, which I don't even know what that means. And what was the last one, Joey?
I'm not from this world.
I'm not from this world. I'm leaning that way. Based on the uniqueness that is Lance Stephenson, like, you know, there's nobody that plays basketball and is from this planet would shoot a layup and then high five themselves.
That's
like,
correct. Right? That's correct.
Are you with me on that? We'll go with that one. Or Eater of Dreams is just so also awesome. I don't.
It is, but. Yeah, no, I think From Another World is where it has to be. Mm-hmm. Although they also had a song called Reptile, which, you know, he could be a lizard people.
Well, guys, you did it. He is an eater of dreams, but he's not the eater of dreams. He just chooses not to do it most of the time. He's not from this world. We of course use Occam's razor, and the most likely scenario was that he's just not from this world. And you caught on to Another Version of the Truth. He's far surpassed Paul Pierce. That'd be giving Paul Pierce too much credit. So, congratulations, guys! You did it.
Woohoo!
You did. Good work, you did Harper. You got all five. Five for five.
That's a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Well.
NBA.
NBA. Now I got to make up a NIMBY A game. Which I'm sure I could do. All right, team. Well, let's move on quickly to my stat of the week, which I'll tell you what. I didn't know that I'd see this in my lifetime. You know, we're having the eclipse on the 8th. And, you know, they're not, there's not going to be back in Indiana for, I don't know, a couple hundred years or something like that. At least a total eclipse. But we did it. We were able to witness the worst plus minus by a player in regular season game in history.
Wow.
Was just set 2 days ago as of recording, March 29th.
Was this in that like 60 point win? I forget. I saw it's in the Heat like win by 60 points or something like that. No.
Yep, I think you're onto it here. The Heat played the Blazers.
That's what it was. Yeah.
The final score was 142-82. Oof. Harper, your boy Scoot Henderson got a lot of playing time that game.
Oh boy.
And when you
come on, coach, you got to sit him down before that happens. Come on, coach.
So we got a problem here because his plus minus, actually, I want to throw it out to you guys. Harper, where do you think the worst all time is that Scoot Henderson picked up in this game?
I mean, you can't be, oh God. Minus 40. I feel like I'm in Mr. Rigby's class. Minus 40.
JT, where are you at?
Can I cheat and ask what the previous record was?
You can. And the previous record was minus 57.
Oh my Whoa. God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say that in an amazing feat, Scoot actually was more than the total deficit and was a minus 61.
You're close, but he was just one over at minus 58 on the day.
Oh wow!
Gosh.
And I'm looking intense. Yeah. Also, he has the number 3 at negative 56. He's tied, so he's on this list twice.
Oh. Man.
Chauncey's just killing his real blocks plus minus.
Destroying him right now.
So yeah, in that game where he had minus 58, he was on the floor for 41 minutes. He dropped 20 of his own. And then 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 7 turnovers.
Oh, geez.
But Scoot is in the record books.
Oh my God.
Good Lord.
Their entire starting lineup, plus minus, is negative 49, negative 38, negative 32, negative 38, negative 58. And poor Delano Banton off the bench, a negative 44.
Ugh. You know, he shouldn't feel too bad. There's a couple of good names on this list that I'm looking at here. TJ Warren, D'Angelo Russell, Miles Bridges, Lou Dort. Anyway.
Dort. Chet Holmgren on the season is plus 383.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously leads all rookies. It's also better than all but 3 teams, the Celtics, wow, Thunder, and Timberwolves.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, he's like the anti-Scoot.
He's like, I could wipe that out in just a couple games. All right, to wrap up the show, we've got an undergoogleable for you. Jason, did you have the question for us this week?
I did, yeah. I forget when we were talking about this. I think maybe Ethan had a day off of school or we were keeping him home for some reason and we were talking about playing hooky. And we didn't... Oh, yeah, we were explaining to him what playing hooky meant. And we were like, yeah, it's, you know, you're just, you're out of school, but you're not really sick. You just do whatever. But we were like, where does that even come from? Why is hooky mean not doing the thing you're supposed to do? Why are you playing it? And to begin, how do you spell it? How do you spell hooky? Is it H-O-O-K-Y or I-E?
I'd have gone with I-E, but I'm not actually sure I've ever seen this word written.
I wrote it as I-E in my notes as well. But I thought
it was Y.
Okay.
H-O-O-K-Y.
And you're playing the hooky.
You're playing hooky. Now, it's not, to my mind, it's not just doing something you're not supposed to be doing, specifically just that one thing, right? Of not being in school when you're supposed to be? Or have you used it in broader context?
I have used it in reference to work. Like if I'm, which I, you know, if anybody's listening that has been a manager, I've never done this before.
Obviously.
If I were to take a day off and not work, I would call that playing hooky.
Sure, sure. But same idea. You're supposed to be in a place and you're not in said place.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's definitely school or work, one of the two. And it's an intentional dodging of, you know, attendance.
Right. Okay. I say attendance as opposed to like activity or other responsibility that you're supposed to do or something. All right. Yeah. I agree with that. Just
Yeah.
So where, yeah. So what is the hook? Is it related to an actual hook?
So my first thought is that it's like the caricature of like the vaudevillian, like, you know, hook off the stage, right?
Me too. That's the exact same thing.
And, you know, there did used to be like truant officers. Like that was a thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I can't imagine they were employing vaudevillian hooks to nab kids back to class.
But it could be in the sense of, yeah, you're playing, you're like playing the odds of getting caught.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Of getting nabbed by the truant officer and getting sent back to school. Okay. Okay. I like that. I like that. For some reason, I don't know why, but the hooky part for some reason sounds Dutch to me. I don't know where that comes from. But sure. Like, I don't know if that's like a, yeah, I don't know. Or is are hookahs involved in this?
It can be.
If you do it right.
That's right.
Yeah, I feel like the Dutch are too good to skip school, I feel like. Just too well-behaved to people.
Well, and they probably are given enough time off to that they don't even need that. Right. Right?
Sure. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It'd be overkill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're thinking this is, all right. So if, following our thread of thought, if it's truant officers, when are truant officers at their peak? This is like in the 50s? 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
I'm certainly I'm less familiar with the truant officer. Are they? Is it just like a police officer that's only trying to like find kids that aren't going to school?
I believe it would be like, you know, like now they have what are called school resource officers, which are basically like security guards at a school. So it would be employed by the school, and you know, during the school day, once all the kids are in class, that person doesn't have a ton to do except go out and find the kids that aren't there. Sure. But like I'm thinking the reason I say that time frame is it's beyond the point where everybody's working on farms and you know, going to school is just like whatever. All right, great, you went to school, awesome. And like it's become probably mandated by that point, right?
Well, so on some level, like, public education was not just for the sake of public education. Like, some of it was to get the roaming gangs of children off the street.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
In urban areas back in the day. So I suspect that the truant officer or some function like it was probably at its heyday at the very beginning of, you know, major public schools, because you were, it wasn't like an accepted thing yet, right? Kids were like,
right,
don't want to, not gonna.
And so when is that? That's like in the turn of the century?
I would guess sometime around then. I mean, it. Yeah, I would have guessed. Yeah, early 1900s.
Okay.
Basically, yeah, once you have large scale urban migration, I think is when, you know, we start to get this, you know, phenomenon.
Yes, yeah, we can't have these immigrant kids running around in our streets causing trouble. You got to get them somewhere. And they'll frown on us if we throw them in jail.
Right.
We can't make them work anymore. Yeah, so it has to be post-child labor laws.
Yeah.
And, so that would be, the early 1900s, I guess, right?
Like, yeah, I like that a lot. Okay. It's not related to hookers at all. I feel like hooker was named after that was like the Civil War general, right? That's where that
is. That right? I didn't know that.
There was a Civil War general named Hooker.
That I remember. Yeah. Yes.
Who I think liked that fun.
But I so can't much think so that they stopped calling them ladies of the night. They started calling them hookers.
If you rename an entire industry, you
oldest industry,
right? That's impressive.
That is impressive. It's Wilt Chamberlain-esque, I would say.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go. And this is an American thing, we think.
I would guess so.
Or Dutch.
Or Dutch.
Yeah. Or yeah. I could see
American Dutch.
Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Post child labor laws, like Britain.
Yeah.
Like being like, we got to get these urchins off the street.
Sure. They're doing the same thing that we are. They're like, we got to get these roaming bands of children. That's right.
We can't make them risk their tiny little fingers anymore. So. Guess we'll teach them how to read. All right, I think it's British, but and then we just stole it. I don't know why I say that, but just to be different.
Well, Jason, I think you were onto something. From on the Dutch thing.
Oh wow, interesting.
At least what I'm seeing here is that the roots seem to be from at least this one. Vocabulary.com is saying that phrase comes from 19th century New York City slang, and it's thought to have its roots in the Dutch word hokje or hide and seek.
Really? Crazy. Maybe I learned that at some point and it's stuck in the back of my head. That's weird.
And they're spelling it with a Y.
H-O-O-K-Y. And that's how I would think that it was spelled.
So So Gemini seems to think that hookje means little corner or nook.
So you're like hiding in a little nook.
Yeah, cutting classes and hiding out to avoid detection. The Dutch played a significant role in founding New York, where its first known use occurred. Hook equals steal. Another suggestion is it stems from an old English slang term hook, which meant to steal. Skipping school could be seen as stealing time away from your obligations. Or maybe you were using that time to just steal shit.
And it seems like it's much earlier than we said. It's like early to mid 19th century.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and also, yeah, another Wiktionary is saying that the word hooky is nook, corner, a spot to hide. So, I mean, it's the same, same idea where you're hiding from your responsibilities, wherever that may be.
And it seems to have originated amongst schoolboys. Yeah, so in Dictionary of Americanisms from 1848, John Russell Bartlett defined it as to play hooky is to play truant, a term used among schoolboys. All right. Hook ya.
It was a good one.
Well, I'm going to say we nailed it without any particular basis in fact.
Well, you said the word Dutch.
We did say the word Dutch.
And
we knew what it meant.
I pulled that out of my...
And you weren't far... We weren't far off on the time. It was...
Yeah, it wasn't like it was Pliny.
No. None of the Plinies. It was pretty close, I would say. All things considered. So I give us the stamp. Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right.
Sounds wonderful.
Nice. Anything else to add this show, gentlemen?
Happy birthday, Colson. Missed you, buddy.
Yeah.
According to how to pronounce. Hoekia.
Hoekia. Play Hoekia tomorrow. Nice. All right, team. Well, appreciate everyone listening and hanging out with us this show. We'll be back with you on Monday with a recap of the Pacers last week. Until then, you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can use that to send us a message and email. Shout out at TheUndebeatables.com. And at the website /store is where the merch lives.
Get yourself a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And then go play Hoekia. For the architect, Donnie Walsh, the Hall of Fame mascot, Boomer, and our once and always Hall of Fame head coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights, the party's over. Go play hooky.
Nice. Did you guys ever play hooky from school?
Sure.
We're after the show, so you can't get in trouble now.
I cut my first class in, I think, fourth grade.
Wow.
So that was an early adopter of this.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it took me till I was like a junior in high school.
I was always I waited till college, and I took
and
I
then
took that
you just
very,
you had a bunch of pent up hookyism.
I did. Yeah, I took it very seriously. Maybe I should have done that a little bit more earlier. Anyway.